this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we'll bring you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Manchester United is back in the EPL, taking that nasty taste out of our mouth after getting smacked around by the City Blues. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't vintage. We could have played a lot better. We could have scored more goals. But Manchester United, I'm going to say a big 3 points in the Premier League because it's about turning the tide. Ronaldo gets number 700. You would have argued that Rashford deserved a goal. You know, that was too pretty to take away from him. Bruno almost got a goal. And then Anthony, again, three in a row for, I believe, his first three starts as a Manchester United player in the Premier League. Feeling good, sir. It wasn't perfect, but you know what? Good teams, they win even when they don't play perfect. And this was a big one on the road.
Like you said, it wasn't perfect, but I thought a lot of great outcomes here for Manchester United. One being we saw some Erik ten Hag ball, right? We talked early in the year, we're going to try to play the high press. We're going to try to dominate possession. And what's going to happen when you try to do that with a team who hasn't done it before? You're going to give up goals.
Yep.
What do we do? First 10 minutes. Exactly what you would expect. On the break, United concede because we're trying to play up high. We're trying to play with the ball, win it up high, and create opportunities. After that goal, we didn't give up. And we saw the fruits of Erik ten Hag's possession-based football for the first time. Eriksen looked great. Casemiro looked great. He did make a few mistakes, but I thought as we built into the game, we looked like the better side. We imposed our will onto our opponent. We didn't come out scared. Going down and then coming back. And obviously, VAR robbed us for that Ronaldo goal. What a finish. He's back. Never doubted the GOAT. The GOAT of GOATs, Cristiano Ronaldo, CR7, 700 club. Let's go.
So you make a lot of great points, and one of the funny things, the reactionary kind of nature of the game, of the sport, maybe just the way it is today. But a week ago, Ronaldo was a bum. You know, if you ask the pressers in England today, what a role, you know, what a player, 700 goals for club. No one could touch him really in the modern game. And they're going to be talking about what a role he has to play under this Manchester United side, especially given that, you know, a lot of us would have liked to see Martial as our starting striker. He went out injured, didn't even make 30 minutes. It's going to be on CR7. He's definitely got a role to play. We talked about in the last pod, even when he didn't get a goal against those Europa League minnows. But he gets number 700, and it wasn't a gimme, wasn't a tap-in. Nice ball from Casemiro and a nice finish from the GOAT, who's going to be featuring, sir. He's going to be featuring.
I mean, we need him. Our leading goal scorer last season, who could take him out of the side when we didn't bring in the number 9? You know, at the end of the day, the goals are what our defense, we got sorted. It's our attack, our midfield that seems to be sorted with Casemiro coming in. It's the attack. It's the focal point of the attack. Martial, it's a bold strategy, Cotton, for Murtaugh and Arnold to say, hey, Martial is going to come back. Scored, what, 6 goals over the last 2 years or maybe calendar year and looked awful in Seville. He's going to lead the line for United. Look, he played well in preseason, but we all know Tony Martial. He's injury prone, just like Cavani. He's injury prone. Ronaldo's a machine. For some reason, he's always available. So we're always going to need Ronaldo. The question is, why didn't we bring in another number 9? I really think that Manchester United tripped over their feet a little bit here, not securing someone else in that position. I thought Rashford might have been the man to do it. We tried him out there, but he's obviously lightning on the left, as we saw today. Now we only have Ronaldo at number 9 and nobody else. 37-year-old striker. Crazy.
It's crazy. You know, you could give the front office the benefit of the doubt if they were to be like, well, that was a mistake. Martial clearly can't stay healthy. Let's go and get somebody in January. But we know they're not going to get nobody in January because the only thing that's planned from that standpoint is a dividend that will be going out like clockwork during the January transfer window. But, sir, like you said, like, okay, give it a try with Martial. He's not going to be available. Obviously, Ronaldo can't start every game. Let's bring in someone else, right? Greenwood, he's gone. We need a youngster that can be given a chance, play maybe 20 games, come on as a substitute. And that's what you need. You need a club that's willing to be like, well, that didn't work out. Let's pivot. And, you know, our worry is all that budget was spent over the summer. Hey, Antony making me eat my words. Another great goal today. That left foot is looking real cherry. But either way, a lot of matches. It was a good 3 points, like you said. We did see some Erik ten Hag ball. We were in control. I mean, it was a bad goal to give away. Casemiro with a little bit of a Fred, you know, give up. But he made up for it in the game. Could have had a goal after that nice Rashford ball that was should have led to an assist. But it's a big 3 points, sir. You know, anything to ruin Fat Frank's day is good by me.
Yeah, just looking at Tony Martial here, he just looking to 20 since 2020, hip injury out 9 days. He did his knee 126 days. Then it was fitness 14 days, knee injury 9 days, a knock 16 days, hamstring 18. That's the season. Then Achilles did 34, right? He hurt his hamstring coming in. Then he did his Achilles. He's already been out, obviously, international break aside. He's already been out upwards of like 54 days. He's already missed 9 games for Manchester United this season. That is it's a bold strategy to come up with that in the front office, kind of screwing us there with the number 9. But CR7's back. That's the high. Antony, he looks to be a baller. Can he play number 9 if Ronaldo goes down? Who plays number 9 if Ronaldo goes down? Is it just Rash straight to Rashford? Then you put Sancho on the left? I think so.
I mean, Rashford looks like he looks great on the left. He's getting his form back. He's not doing as much hero ball. There's a little bit of that today, but actually it was leading to something, some chances, and getting the ball out to his teammates. But that's got to be it. I mean, there's no other great option, right? I guess you would drop Rashford into the number 9 spot, put Sancho on the left, but you're going down your best left winger, who at the moment is Marcus Rashford. That's where you want him playing. You want him on the left side because he's just so dangerous. Even today with Shaw, they were linking up well. He faded a little bit in the game, but he just offers something that, I don't know, Sancho hasn't converted into the Premier League yet. Doesn't have that physicality, doesn't have that brute speed. I would have loved that goal to stand. It felt like we were robbed. That was not an egregious handball by any means. It happened so fast, and it was a pretty goal, and Marcus deserved it because, you know what? He had a tough season last season, and he's been playing well this season, working hard, and you know, you would have loved him to score today because that was a fun one.
The FA is going to drop the apology in the mail to Marcus. Yeah, sure. I mean, that was an offensive call by VAR. Here, sir, on the pod, live. I know Ten Hag's listening. Bruno false 9, Casemiro, McTominay, Eriksen midfield with Bruno false 9. What do you make of that? I don't think it's unbeatable with Rashford and then Antony. With Bruno distributing the ball on the wing, you got Eriksen behind. I don't know. I like that. That could be where we're going. Because of just the options the front office left us with. But we're Muppets. What do we know? If you like the American Red Devils podcast, we are for fans, by fans. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We don't have any commercial sponsors on the podcast. And the best way for you to support this small-time operation is Patreon. Please check it out. We do a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We give away shirts, scarves, stickers, pins, you name it. Check it out. Also, check out our store, AmericanRedDevils.store. Scarves, beanies, stickers, shirts. We have everything for you to wear and support this great team, Manchester United, with the ARD gear. Check it out. Everything you buy goes to support this podcast as well. Also, check out our website, AmericanRedDevils.com. We have great blog content there. For fans, by fans. That is the motto. Sir, tell me about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews and 5-star reviews of the American Red Devils, wherever you listen, it's a great way to support the pod. It helps us get found organically, and even better, we're giving away free merch from now until the end of time. All you have to do, write a 5-star review and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it right to your door anywhere in the world. We got a great one from Miller KJ. 5 stars, couple of Muppets, huge fan of this pod. Favorite way to listen is right after a win. We're leaving the highlights and goals post-matches. The format of the show is generally reviewing the last match, going through the experience watching and thoughts while it happened, audio clips of the goals, and then clips and commentary on post-match interviews. After that, a preview of the next match, including histories of the opposing clubs and histories of the matchups themselves. There's also United in the News, transfer news, and applicable, and more. Alex and John are hilarious. It's a great podcast to listen to with other Man United fans or on your own. 5 stars. Thank you so much, Miller, Katie. We appreciate it, sir. I tell you what, our fans are the best in the world because, you know, they do a better job selling us than even we could.
I will let you know, Alex, what a read through that review.
That was a good read, right? I'm about to say.
That was a great read.
I thought I stuck that one.
I was going to say, you stuck it. That was a 10 out of 10. Get this guy a raise. Get this guy a raise.
Sir, I love you.
All right, let's get into it. Everton 1, Manchester United 2, 3 points. Nothing like kicking a blue at Goodison Park. Let's get into that lineup. Dave saves world number one in net. Luke Shaw at left back. Martinez, Lindelof, center back pairing. Deleau at right back. Casemiro hit CDM. I was surprised to see that one. Fernandes, Eriksen, midfield 2. Rashford on the left. Tony Martial came from France, number 9, and Antony on the right wing. What'd you make of this lineup?
Sir, we don't often get it right, and we even less so agree on things. But here is something where we both call this 11. I don't think it was super surprising, but we got our wish. Casemiro getting the start for the first time as a holder in the Premier League. And then, you know, Martial up front, Antony on the right, Rashford on the left. We were all dying to see it. Actually, it turned out, I think Martial like tweaked his hip in warm-up. So, you know, maybe that's why he only lasted 25, 30 minutes. But this looks like a good 11, the kind of 11 that you would expect to take it to an Everton side. And I really wanted to see Casemiro behind, you know, our two playmakers in Eriksen and Fernandes. So I liked it. What do you think?
I liked the lineup. I was really excited to see Tony do some damage. And you heard the warm-up. I mean, goes down. Like I said, he's already been out 9 games. 2 different sets of injuries. This is a different injury. Apparently, it's his back. He did come out and start, which you like to see that. A little grit from Tony Martial. Let's get into it. First half, United come out. Our intent was there.
That was there. That's what I was trying to get through. You get it.
Yeah. The intent was there. Hey, we're going to press high. We're going to have a lot of the ball, and we're going to play Erik ten Hag ball. And I was, you know, totally pumped for it. And then in the 5th minute, everything came crashing down.
Like you said.
He's been right in his face since kickoff. Here's Iwobi. Tries to pick his spot. And he picks it to perfection. It's a first goal of the season for Alex.
Sir, what Brazilian midfielder was that giving away? Was that Fred? That was like a Fred giveaway. Like you said, United came out. We were in control, you know, and then bad giveaway, giving them too much space, and then Iwobi with a beauty curler. De Gea ain't saving that. Not how you want to start a game on the road.
I mean, that's a banger. I mean, Iwobi, like, what a goal. Look, Casemiro, he's got to get up to EPL pace. He's out there in the Farmers League, La Liga, doing it over and over again. You know, obviously he can do a job in the Champions League. You got to give him some time. Even Casemiro needs some time. There's very few players that don't need to sort of get up to the speed of the EPL. You saw him grow into the game. It was a bad giveaway, but he actually played decent aside from that. And that's what you want to see. Like him winning the ball off of Iwobi, then passing it to Ronaldo made up for this one, in my opinion, because that shows what Casemiro is capable of. So I'm not going in hard on Casemiro here. But look, this is not what you want. We haven't started well our last 2 games, and you give up an early goal. But the biggest part is the attitude. We didn't sink our heads like we did at City away. We are right back in it. 14th minute, Antony, let's go.
Saves too much of it to Bruno Fernandes. Martial, Antony is in. 3 Premier League games, 3 goals for the Brazilian Antony. He continues to average a goal a game so far. Manchester United back on level terms inside quarter of an hour at Goodison in a game that is trundling along nicely.
Trundling along nicely, sir. They have just these expressions in England. You just can't even believe they exist. But what a goal. Like you said, Tony Martial involved in this as well, injured, but he has the nice ball to pick out Antony. And then, hey, man, he might be a one-trick pony. That's what they're labeling him in the press, but that one trick is mighty fine. He's a hell of a player on his left foot. Shown again, quick, very little time on the ball, does well to get it past Pickford, and a great goal from the Brazilian.
Sir, finish him. It's about finishing. That's all it's about. It's about finishing. It's about winning. Anthony, he's ice in his veins with that left foot. It's just easy. You know it's going in. Rashford is like a coin flip.
Yep.
Anthony, it's going in.
It's silky.
3 for 3. Haters, like, you know, he still ain't worth $89 million. Like, that's the
85.
Problem. It's the same problem.
Yeah.
Whatever. $189 million. Whatever it is. Like, you know, Harry Magoo, like, the problem was the price tag. Paul Pogba, problem is the price tag. I haven't heard a lot of outrage about the price tag with Anthony yet. It's usually the price tag that gets you, but he's a great player, and he's made a huge difference for Manchester United this season already, and good on Ten Hag for getting him in the side. You know, you have to – the criticism is the front office on the price tag, not the player.
It's true. I mean, if he had been – had or been like gone after earlier in the window, we would have gotten him from cheaper. But you know what? Erik Ten Hag, he was like, this is the player I want. He maybe was able to get a couple players for the same price elsewhere, but he wanted him. And credit to Anthony, he pushed for the move as well. And even more so, he's been playing well. You know, not doing everything perfectly, but coming in with some big goals. He has scored some massive ones, some important ones for this side early on in this season. You know what? Not living up to an $85 million price tag, maybe like a 60. Looks like a $60 million player all day.
Yeah, but the thing he offers is balance in the attack.
Yep.
Because you got Rashford in that lightning pace on the left, then you got Anthony on the right. And so I feel like it creates opportunities when the defense is stretched and you got to worry about both of them. Oh, yeah, CR7. Oh, yeah, Eriksen and Bruno. Or Tony Martial, right, who ends up getting the ball to him. But that's kind of what you're seeing, the, you know, I'm going to say the quadruple threat we have in attack. So many players can hurt you. And, you know, give it some time. Let Anthony – we just signed him. How many games has he been in? How many training sessions has he been in? He's already making this great of an impact. So sky's the limit for Anthony, and you love that left boot.
You really do. We haven't had a curler like that coming in from the right. I mean, it feels like Nani sometimes, but I love to see it.
28th minute sub, Ronaldo for Martial. I think it's a back that gets Martial out of the game. 38th minute, Bruno scores, but Ronaldo is offsides in buildup. Ronaldo loves being offsides. It's kind of his MO. He's always pushing the line as he loses the pace. With age, he's always going to be pushing the limit of VAR and that offsides. 43rd minute, Casemiro, great headed chance. Perfect ball from Rashford. This should have been a goal. Absolutely should have been a goal, but you know, we all forgot about it because the 44th minute, history was made. Goat doing goat things.
Casemiro playing a role as well.
Iwobi. Casemiro wins it back and plays a terrific pass to Cristiano Ronaldo. Ronaldo! Another milestone for Cristiano Ronaldo. His 700th club goal. His first this season in the Premier League. He's come off the bench tonight to complete this first half comeback for Manchester United.
Sir, a mathematical certainty. It was only a matter of time. You know, given chances... CR7, he was going to get his goal. He's had some really easier chances this game, this season at least, to get number 700. Finally gets it against Everton. A lot to do. Nice finish. Greatly scored. And then, like, you know, as as nonchalant of a celebration as I've ever seen at a CR7. He's like, yeah, no big deal. Casemiro as well, right, does incredibly well to win the ball back, and then finds CR7 with a great vertical pass. That's Ten Hag ball, sir. That's what you've been talking about. And Ronaldo with a goal. Love to see it. The GOAT.
World-class play from Casemiro. I mean, this is the difference. McTominay can make that tackle. Other players can make that tackle, but not other players can make that pass directly leading to the goal, the winner. Who else to finish it? Cristiano Ronaldo. And what a finish off his left, beating the slick Rick, the poor man, Jordan Pickford.
Poor man somebody.
He wants to... Yeah, the poor man's Pickford. I mean, like, he's the poor man's Peaky Blinders, I would say. He should be in the Peaky Blinders. He'd be better at that than stopping shots here. Jordan Pickford, way overrated keeper. But, hey, we go in half, 2-1. We complete the turnaround. This is great from Manchester United, showing we have that grit, showing we have that mentality to be able to go down early, come back. Great first half for Manchester United. Could we put the game to bed in the second half? We come out in control. 62nd minute, Eriksen puts a great ball from a free kick, but Martinez can't get his head on it because he's too short.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you look good clearing the ball out of the box a bunch of times today, but you know what? If he was 6'2", he would have buried that.
Everton started growing into the game here, and I was kind of looking at Ten Hag. Hey, you want to put on McTominay? You want to put on another defender? You want to start locking this up?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt this game needed us to lock it up. 71st minute, Bruno almost finds Ronaldo with a great pass, but Pickford intercepts. And 80th minute, Rashford scores, but is overturned because of a handball. This is atrocious. This VAR call is atrocious. There was one in the Arsenal game against the Scouse Bastards. There was another one with Antonio scoring, handled the ball off of his arm, then scores. It's because he's moving and jumping that his arm hits it. So it's a natural position for his body to be. It's incidental. It should count. This one makes no sense. I could pull up the IFAB rule. I tweeted it out, but the consistency in handball rulings is insane.
It's the consistency in all rulings in the Premier League. And it's the, you know, this is the greatest league in the world, arguably the most valuable sports league in the world. And like the refs are not, they're not up to snuff. And it's just because every game is different. And even in a game, you see it where the refs are like inconsistent in how they judge it. This one, it was one of those where they, if you slow it down enough, you're going to see some inconsequential contact, but unfair, sir. It happened so quickly, and it wasn't one of those handballs. So, you know, I don't want to just be like the Muppet. Everything that goes against this is unfair, but
no,
Rashford does well.
Really
get some luck
call.
As well.
This is a really bad call.
Yeah. Okay. Good. It wasn't the only one.
I'm not like okay, going through the handball rule because you got to go to the rule. It's a handball offense if the player deliberately touches the ball with their hand or arm. For example, moving his hand or arm towards the ball, which he did not do. Touches the ball with the hand or arm when it's made their body unnaturally bigger, which he did. A player is considered to have made their body unnaturally bigger when the position of their hand or arm is not a consequence of or justifiable by the player's body movement for that specific situation, which I believe his arm was there because he was jumping. And the other rule basically says, if he scores immediately after the ball has touched his hand or arm, which he did not, he still had to meg Pickford or like go around Pickford. So there's nothing in the rule or in the law that would show that that's a handball, which, and it was called this way in the Liverpool game and the West Ham game today. And then it's called a different way against Manchester United. No surprise. Everyone's out to get us. Conspiracies.
Always. And it's just, that's it. You know, if that's a handball, then make it the same for all the games and all the teams. It's just that, like, even
exactly.
Like you said, like, I was watching that game as well. There were a couple handball shouts that, like, you know, they didn't go back. They're playing at home. Maybe that was the difference. If this goal was scored at Old Trafford, maybe they don't overturn it. There's always, like, that, well, it kind of felt like it could have been a handball, even though we're not really, you know, sticking by the rules that have been kind of laid upon us that we all want to abide by, but... Unfortunately, I thought we needed that third goal, right? Because like you said, we were in control, but we were like given, we were making a lot of scrappy mistakes in terms of passing the ball, especially when we were on the break. We had a number of good chances that we didn't really capitalize on. And I feel like that third goal, we needed that ice. And instead, it made that last 10, 15 minutes very nervy, especially the last five, sir, when they got all those corners.
And how you know it's totally BS call is because the ref didn't go to the monitor. That makes no sense to me at all whatsoever because the ref was just taking the VAR guy's word for it. He just called it off and didn't even take a look. If you're going to overturn this goal decides the game, you're getting paid big bucks. This is the big Premier League, Manchester United, Everton. Like, we need every point we can get. You got to go look at it on the monitor, bro. And he, like, doesn't even do that. That's how I know it's a conspiracy. John Moss is back there on the VAR just like –
eating a pie, laughing at United.
That's
sir.
BS. You got to go to the monitor. Like, how many times have you seen a goal overturned with the referee not going to the monitor?
No, it's a good point.
For VAR.
Especially when it was called the other way on the field. Yeah, when it was called the other way. So,
exactly.
Sir, you know, they always, by the hair on our chin, so they always make United like fight for it. Don't get that little cushion, that third goal that we could have just been coasted into the last 15 minutes. Instead, They're pushing up Slick Rick Pickford, bro. He gets slicker every season. He gets like puts a little bit more hair gel in.
Yeah, like literally. He's like He's like past Jersey Shore level hair tone, honestly. Look, you had to hit on that because I thought that was like, that's the game right there. And we get screwed by this call. And then after this, it was brutal. McTominay comes on for Erickson in the 85th, trying to lock up shop. Wave after wave, Everton corners. They got tons of corners here. 91st minute, almost play of the game here, other than the Ronaldo goal. Dave saves. I mean, this is a goal. This is a straight up goal. Everton player about to dunk it in the net. De Gea gets fingertips on it. Absolutely saves us. 93rd minute, garbage time sub, puts Braun on for Antony. Just anything we can for the corner. I was convinced Pickford was going to dunk this header in. I was like, it's written in the stars, so we're going to blow this game. And somehow Pickford misses this header. We win Manchester United 2-1. I felt like how we finished the game kind of ruined the feeling, because that 3-1 Rashford goal, a lot of confidence, and then this nervy finish away. But it is the Premier League. There's not an easy match. You're going to have nervy games like this. We did close. Coffees for closers, 3 points. Let's go.
That's right. You got a lot in there, sir, but I agree with it all. They were a team in form, haven't lost in 7 games. You know, it's Everton, of course. They ain't no high-flying team like City. But we closed it out. You know, this is a game that I think, like, under other managers in the not-so-distant past, we would have conceded, bro, and it would have been 2-2, and we would have walked away with 1 point when, right, there was the Bruno chance, there was the Rashford goal. Like, there are a bunch of goals that we this could have easily been 4-1 if United played a little sharper and converted some of those chances and got some better luck. But, hey, all that matters is 3 points. On to the next one. Ceremony is going to be the last tune-up, because the rest of the month, it ain't going to be easy. Newcastle as well, sir. They're playing good football at the moment. They're not the same Newcastle they used to be a couple years ago. A Mike Ashley Newcastle.
And credit to Erik ten Hag. The manager deserves all the credit for this game, because he lashed into the lads. He got the reaction out of the lads. Every time it's looking like we're going to slide, he's able to stop it from happening. He got it exactly right. He said, we're going to play this way. You guys are ready to do it. We came out, conceded early, and we stuck to the game plan. Scored 3 goals, I'm going to say. He also is aggressive. Look at the subs he made. Right? He didn't make them until the 85th. He wanted to get that third goal.
He did.
He thinks the best way to win is to score more. That tells you a lot about Erik ten Hag, the cojones he has on the sidelines, because I'm thinking Mourinho shut it down at 2-1. That's how I'm thinking. Shut it down, shut it down. Ten Hag's going for the throat. That's the type of manager we got. What's going on behind the scenes when he's getting these lads up for this match? How he wants them to play brave, front foot, have the ball, play Ten Hag ball away. I thought this is all Erik ten Hag, for him to be able to turn this horrible performance Thursday night in ammonia and have this performance on Sunday. That's on the manager.
100%. Got a reaction out of the boys. Made the right subs, I think, and also held off, like, just closing up shop, like you said. Some coaches would have had the instinct in the 70th minute to make those defensive subs. He waited to the 85th because he was pushing, as you pointed out, for that third goal. Dude, he managed the game very well. They seem to play in the style that we've been hearing a lot about, and it's an important win. It's an important win, and CR7 gets a goal because Martial's down again. When's he featuring next time? I don't know. These injuries, it's like almost like he needs a break until after the World Cup. But United got a lot of games between now and Qatar.
United doesn't like moving on from players.
No, we don't. We get attached.
Martial can come back and have a great second half of the season, but you can't argue there shouldn't be like another body at number 9 that we have on the roster.
Like a Sesko?
Like someone we signed. Like, you could even sign Sesko, have him come next year and try to do this year, but because you're like, oh, he wouldn't come this year, but we're going to get him next year. I'm fine with that. But the fact we got nobody.
And no names. There's not. We don't even have, like, oh, we know who we're going. Oh, we got nothing, sir. They haven't even figured it out yet, because they probably don't even look at it until April. We're like, well, how much money we got? How much money we got? This is it. They're not spending money in January, sir. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you can back that. Stats, 12-11 for shots. Manchester United, shots on target 4-2. Possession 61% to their 39%. Passes 602 to their 362. There's that Ten Hag ball. Pass accuracy 83%. They did get us on corners at the end. They had five in the game. We had four. Manchester United have become the first side to win 100 Premier League games in which they concede the first goal. Put that in the record books. And Cristiano Ronaldo has scored the 700th club goal of his career, 20 years and 2 days after his first goal for Sporting Lisbon. And Antony is the first Manchester United player to score in each of his first three appearances in the Premier League for the club. What a stat. But what do we know? Let's hear it from the main man himself, Erik ten Hag.
Nervous moments at the end there, but overall that must be a very satisfying performance.
We are quickly 1-0 down, but the reaction of the team is good, and also it was one of our aims to deal better with setbacks, and now they stay composed, came in a game, play out of a good formation. I think first 35 minutes were quite impressive from our side.
You complained that they were too static in recent games, and did you see an advance there? Did you see better pressing from the side as well?
Yeah, I think especially first half, it was the pressing well, and Everton didn't came out, and it was difficult for them to come in the game, and the game is to get switches and get a lot of crosses in, and we didn't allow them, so happy with that.
You mentioned the early goal for Everton. I think as Casemiro was introduced to how quickly tackles fly in this kind of game.
Yeah, but I think he will anticipate quickly. And you saw that during the game, how important he is. He's that composed, winning a lot of balls, winning also the ball, the goal from Cristiano Ronaldo. So he grew into the game, so good performance.
Yeah, what was the Martial interview?
So he ain't giving you nothing. You know Erik ten Hag. He was opening up a little bit more after we beat Arsenal and stuff, but now he's like, he's back to the 12-word responses. Happy what he saw from the lads. Happy to get the response. Most importantly, happy for the 3 points. Talks about Casemiro growing into the game. I think we're going to see a lot more of the Brazilian going forward. But encouraging stuff. It was managed well by the manager, of course. The players, they went out and put it in a shift. Could have had more goals. I think this Everton side were looking to get it United. And really wasn't until the very end where it got a little bit nervy when they were thrown in the kitchen sink. But it's a big win, sir. Big win. We march on.
We said it was a must win. We get the 3 points. Great performance. The team bend home, break stuff. Mentality away from home. The Brazilian firing, Ronaldo firing. This is a Martial injury setback, but you're kind of feeling some good mojo. And we got to prepare for Ammonia coming into town. You want to go through the table, sir? You know, we don't talk about it till Christmas, but, you know, you like to feature it here on the pod. So
Number one Muppet, so I'm giving everybody a preview just because. Arsenal are back at the top. They love saying that. Just close your ears. After they beat the Scousers today, City right behind them, 23 points. Spurs at 20. Chelsea at 16 points. United at 15th point. With 15 points in fifth place. Newcastle right behind us. We're playing them soon. 14. Brighton, Bournemouth, Fulham, Scousers. So it don't matter, but it does. And United, you know, we're going to know a lot more about the side at the end of the month because. So we got Newcastle. We got Chelsea. We got Spurs. And these are teams that are all playing pretty good football, including Chelsea. So they looked down and out a couple weeks ago. And under their new man, Graham Potter, things are going much better for them.
All right, I'm going to revise it, right, because of the Winter World Cup. Santa Claus is coming to town a little early. You can check the table whenever we break the World Cup because we're fitting in so many games. For me, I don't even want to think about it until we get through, like I said, until the World Cup, but this October run of fixtures. Like, you got to be like Chelsea. They're still Chelsea. All the money that was spent by the big Russian crook is why they're doing as well as they are. That's arguably one of the biggest games of the year. Tottenham as well, huge. West Ham is nobody right now, so that is looking like an easy fixture. But Newcastle coming up in the game, huge fixtures coming up, so got to be laser focused. Speaking about being laser focused, let's go to the turntables. DJ Hans and Franz Laser Light Show, give me that new remix of the Europa League theme song.
Here we go. Never forget how much you love this song. So the hottest nightclub in town is playing this song. You know, you know you're at the right place. Gdansk.
At least they're playing it in Manchester and not in Cyprus. The biggest issue with Europa League, especially the group stage, is these long treks out to Eastern Europe for these fixtures. The fact that we don't have to travel, we get to play in HD under proper lighting, which I believe was part of the problem
those
for Manchester
lights.
United away, those like playing lights. In the dark, for like, under a full moon, basically, you know, playing by moonlight out in Cyprus. It's like,
everybody has their car lights on, just pointed at the field. That was pretty basic.
We need to just get this job done in a non-embarrassing way. The game away versus Ammonia was not great. It was not great. You have to look at it and say, that sucked. That was a horrible performance, horrid first half. It's got to be business. You got to show up business. You got to do the business, and you got to go because it's on to the next one. We got too many games. United just need to like put them to the sword early, sub out the big players because Ten Hag's going to play a great team. It's about getting up early so you can get the subs, rest the legs. Big month ahead for Manchester United.
It's true, sir. And we know what? We have the next three games are all at home. Ammonia on Thursday. Then we have Newcastle. And then we have Spurs midweek. So hopefully we continue kind of the legacy of Old Trafford returning as a fortress before they name it for some corporate. So we talked about the last pod. Who's going to buy the naming rights to Manchester United from the Glazers? We will see. But hold on. Now we go to the beat. Back to the beat. Grows on you. It certainly does. Europa League, baby. Let's go, Ammonia FC.
We just got to show up. You can't be doing 3-2. It's got to be like 3-0, 4-0. Like, get some kids in the game, get Garnacho some red. Like, that's what Europa League should be about. Obviously, we got to win the game, try to get to the knockout stages. But can't be messing around. Like, I'll give it to you, Cyprus. The air travel at home, got to be doing it much easier.
No doubt.
Got to be much more confident. Obviously, we're talking Manchester United versus Ammonia at Old Trafford. Game week 4. Looking at that Group E. Real Sociedad. 9 points. Manchester United with 6 points. Sheriff. As Alex calls them, 3 points. Ammonia with 0. We can't let them get anything. Obviously, coming into it, we beat them 3-2. It was nervy. It shouldn't have been nervy. Ammonia Nicosia, commonly known as Ammonia or Harmony, is a Cyprus professional multi-sport club established in June 1948. So they do have some cred. They've been around for a while. They're sort of a sports association, and then they spun out the football part as a Cyprus football association, and the football department of AC Ammonia became a professional for-profit football club in 2018. So they weren't for-profit until 2018, and they have done well since. Obviously not that well because they're only in the Europa League, but they are one of Cyprus's most successful football clubs, having won 21 national championships. That sounds like, you know, a college title. But it's Cyprus national championships, 15 cups and a record of 17 super cups. Ammonia has won 5 doubles and a record of 3 domestic trebles. And it's one of 3 Cyprus clubs never to have been relegated to the second division. AC Ammonia also operates with a basketball team, volleyball team, football, futsal, cycling, women's football, and women's volleyball team. We should see if they want to start an American football team. We can go to Cyprus and play for them. What do you think, sir?
I like the sound of that, sir. Let's do it. Your boy, Discarude. I'll tell you what. Maybe he can't play in the MLS, but he can play in the Cyprus League. They still got a spot for him, which is good to see. America's abroad.
You know what?
Is he going to be in the Hef side?
I feel bad for him, you know? Like, when do you hang him up?
They're still paying him. I mean, he can't see the pitch at night if they play a home game.
I mean, does the guy have a family? Is he moving him to Cyprus? I mean, obviously not, you know.
Maybe. So you don't know. Find him on Instagram. You'll see what he's up to recently.
There's nothing on his Wikipedia about wife and children, so I'll let you know if you have a career and you're going to move to Cyprus, the wife's going to put a stop to that. Yeah, retire early. So. I'll let you know.
I think so. How do you move into Cyprus?
Well, he's from Norway, so I guess the Norway to Cyprus can't be that bad. So at the end of the day, but he did obviously play for the U.S. men's national team. They played the 5-3-2. There's no one to be afraid of other than the Iranian striker who scored that banger against
that
us.
That was a banger.
Putting him down to be worried about the World Cup. Physio room, Magoo, thigh injury, DeBeek. He's MIA. Apparently, Hag doesn't want him. Brandon Williams, Hag doesn't want him. AWB, the spider. No return date. Martial, obviously, the back. Phil Jones training with the reserves.
Phil Jones. You know what? Give him another contract, sir, just so we can talk about him.
What's your lineup for this one at home?
So we're a little thin in the back. So it's going to be Dubrovka, first match for United. Delo, Martinez, Lindelof, and Malacia back in at left back. I'm going to do McFred. McFred, give some of the boys a rest. Erickson. Rest Bruno. I'm going to do Sancho on the left, Rashford up front, Alonso on the right. What do you got?
So mixed is screwed. I was right. He does not have a wife or kids. That is why he's in Cyprus. You're not in Cyprus if you got a wife. If you got a wife being like, I ain't going there. Nothing against Cyprus. I'm just like moving to Cyprus, just hanging on to the last.
He's not hanging up those. How old is mixed is screwed?
32.
That's it. Jesus. Still got it. He's going to score a banger at Old Trafford.
I'll tell you what. He's a journeyman. He went from Stanbeck to Gent to Rosenborg to New York City FC to Gutenberg to Manchester City, then Gutenberg, then Ulsan Hyundai in South Korea. Then he went to Sweden.
He's been everywhere.
Then he went to Sweden. Then he went to Turkey. Deslinspor, and then now he's at Ammonia. He's been everywhere.
Good for him.
He hasn't played for the United States national team since 2016, but look, he was a legend in 2014. I mean, a lot of mixed jerseys. He has zero goals for Ammonia. So
who was the one that missed like the sitter against Portugal at the death? That wasn't him, was it?
No, it was against Belgium. It was Wondolowski. Wondolowski definitely has a wife and children. He is not in Cyprus playing football. Yeah. That's enough for that tangent. Shout out to the U.S. men's national team. I'm going to say Dave saves. I'm going to say Wan-Bissaka comes back. Martinez, Lindelof. You're going to have to play Malacia. Get him in there. McTominay, Fred. You're going to get McFred with cheese. You're going to play Bruno. You have Sancho coming back, Ronaldo at number 9, and you're going to play Anthony on the right because who else is going to play there?
I love it. I love it. Can't wait, sir. Can't wait for some Europa League football.
I mean, Ahmad should be playing there. Facundo should be playing there. Garnacho should be coming in. I just don't think Ten Hag is going to rotate that much. Booking the bookies, United's huge favorites, -950 at home, the draw +800, and Ammonia to win +2,000. We should be able to beat them easily. Given that, what is your score prediction?
Beat them easily. 3-0. Come on, clean sheet. On to the next one. All about the Newcastle match, sir. It's going to be a big one on the weekend. What do you got?
We're due for a 3-1. I'm going to say 3-1. Just go up 2, score 3, subs, concede a goal in garbage time type of situation. But we really needed this. It's all business. This game's all business. On to the next one. Can I get some United in the news? United in the news. Ooh, the voice.
So it's all good. I didn't notice. United in the news, sir. It's
United in the news. United in the news. There we go. I'm back. This is apparently news per Alex here. Concentrate on your own effing game.
Light news week. Light news week.
Concentrate on your own effing game. Manchester United boss Erik ten Hag demanded an inquest after 6-3 defeat to rivals Man City, with Lissandra Martinez and Scott McTominay against the more vocal players during heated talks. I love this. Ten Hag, you know what he is? Crisis manager. Brentford, crisis talks, we're all going to run. Man City, crisis, we're all going to yell at each other, figure it out. He's not letting this team slide. Ralf Rangnick, let them slide. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Mr. Nice Guy, let him slide. I like Ten Hag. He's got some grit to him, where if you're starting to see things sour, he nips it in the butt, doesn't let it get too bad. I like this from Erik ten Hag. What do you think? Is this just propaganda in the press?
Of course, an element something of it. I like that take, sir. It's like he gets a grip on the situation quickly, right? Brentford, he course corrected, made some big changes, right? Dropped Magoo, dropped Shaw, and that paid off. We had a good run of games. City, obviously, one of the toughest matches of the season. We came out like shit, got blown open. Even the second half, I know they let off a little bit, but that was a reaction. And then today, a reaction. Ammonia wasn't great, but that was, dude, I just looked up our Cypresses again. That's a trek from anywhere. That's certainly a trek from England. So I'm sure that contributed. Plus playing in the dark, like you said. Dude, he's just turning the screws. He knows what he needs from his boys. And he needs the reaction. And that's the only way we're going to keep our head above water through these run of fixtures is like, it's a lot of him to manage the squad, and that's going to be a big test, but it's also going to be like keep the intensity up. Every match, there's no way you let up, because any opponent we play, even with the Discords of the world, sir, they could punish you if you give them a chance.
Absolutely, and, you know, Ten Hag just looks like a nut.
A nut. He's our
like
nut.
An absolute nut.
Yeah.
No, and that's what you want to see. He's a type of guy who has that intensity where, like, he won't let this team fail because he won't let himself fail. Like, he refuses to accept like mediocrity from these players. He'll do whatever it takes. And I just love that about Erik ten Hag, because it tells you a lot when he took this job, the state of this team, and obviously LVG, he was telling him not to take the job.
Yep.
He had a great thing going at Ajax, like didn't need to go. He leaves Ajax. He comes to United. It's probably like even more of a shit show than we could ever imagine. He gets there and is just like blown away how bad it's run. The start to the season turns it around. The City big loss turns it around so far. And that takes a lot for someone to come into a job dealing with everything he's dealing with. So I'm seeing early signs that Ten Hag is up to the task just because he's that big of a nut.
And that's what the best managers in the world are, coin it down to a three-letter word, but they are nuts. Like, Guardiola's a nut, Klopp's a nut, Fergie was a nut, Ten Hag's a nut, and you have to have extremely high standards, you have to be meticulous, you have to see everything, you have to accept nothing less than perfection, even though like you really never achieve perfection, that's the whole point. And we need those standards to be returned, right? I want him to share the load with some of the other people that like could be helping to make his job more successful. That's not the case right now. We talked about that enough, but right now he's getting the most out of the players. And this is a huge month for him in terms of the challenge ahead of him, right? Just because of the amount of games, and all of a sudden we're thin in certain departments, especially up front, especially really at center back, if you think about it, with Varane kind of out, back in now, Maguire out, he's in Greece or something. We'll talk about that in a second. But he's getting a reaction, and he has to keep getting a reaction and keep kind of messing with the squad, and it's going to be about rotating the squad. He knows what players are playing well for him, but if you play Casemiro every single game, you know, his legs aren't going to last. Same with Bruno. Same with Anthony, same with Rashford. So it's going to be about managing and keeping, you know, even if you wanted to start a Rashford, sometimes you're going to play in a Longa or, dude, blood one of the youngs. Like, Garnacho is ready to feature in some capacity. I'd love to see Facundo, right? The fact that he didn't go on alone because it was injury after the Atletico game, that might be our gain, because we do need options, and I'd love to see him play.
Next bit of news here, Erik ten Hag's decision to let Harry Magoo go on holiday sparks fury at Manchester United, The Manchester United boss permitted Harry Magu to jet off to Portugal in the middle of the season to hand the defender the chance to get some rest while recovering from an injury. What do you make of this? He's the captain. The captain's chilling in Portugal.
Yeah, the captain no more,
getting
bro.
Some sun.
Real captain's from Portugal. And he's been the captain basically since that Brentford loss. You know, I don't know nothing, but I defer to my manager. And I like this manager a lot. So if he thinks what Harry Magu needs is some time off and Harry Magu relented, then so be it. Because, you know, maybe like featuring the sidelines wasn't helping him. He came back from England injured. If he thinks he needs some time in the sun on the Portuguese coast, then have at it. Because he hasn't been contributing on the pitch, sir. So, like, you know, why not get his head straight? Just don't get in any fights.
I like this from Ten Hag. But, again, it's just that soft, soft mentality from Harry Magu. You know, it's like, so, you're the captain of United. Like, look, the real captain of United. Look what he's fighting through. Look what he's been through. This, like, in it, anyone would not be playing. A normal human being would not, like, he played like 2 weeks after the tragedy and scored. It's incredible. You know, Ronaldo's, I mean, he's just a real cat. Magu needs more vacation. You know, that's the difference between these. I look,
he needs more time off.
Like the fact, it will, again, I'll say it again and again and again. The fact we didn't sell him to Chelsea for 35 is a crime.
They would have paid.
They'd
50,
have Koulibaly and paid. Magu like clobbering into each other at the back line like a cartoon. It would be like a laugh. It's like, could you imagine like signing Koulibaly and being like, you know, we need another large, slow defender.
And we had an out, bro, because they didn't get their feet set yet. They didn't even have a director of football. Like Boley was making the call.
Yeah,
like,
and we're gonna
they would have paid 50 for him, and that would have been a great deal, bro. Nope. England.
And he would be guaranteed to concede goals for them, which would have helped us in the race for top four. Yeah. Like inside.
So they
job.
Would have bought him. They were going to buy him. That would have been £50 million. It would have been the deal of the century, sir. Anyway.
Next bit of news here. Ronaldo can leave Manchester United in January. This is from Ducker, Telegraph. Having wanted to keep Ronaldo when he first took over, Erik ten Hag will now not stand in his way if a good offer comes in. It's all about how it's going. So Manchester United, this article came out 6 days ago. This is before the game, before Martial's injured. You only have two number nines. One's injured, and now you're going to let one leave? DOF. DOF. Director of Football.
Who?
This is insanity. Like, we need somebody. The thing, we're not going to replace him. You can't get rid of him. He's going to play the rest of the year and he'll leave. That's
it. Yeah.
Rest of the year, LA Galaxy or Sporting Lisbon. That's where he's going to go. He's going to go to Portugal next year, probably play in the Champions League because he's just going to be like Iron Messi with the record.
Yeah.
And then he'll go play at LA Galaxy and like dunk on MLS Wolves for like another 3 years.
Easily. And then go to Cyprus.
That'll probably be it.
Then go to Cyprus to hang out at Discarude. And then there was the other side. I also added the Fabrizio piece, which is like he's basically saying that, you know, there's a story that caught his eye over the weekend that Ronaldo's unhappy, but he's hearing the opposite. So, you know, we don't know what to believe. I'm sure he's not thrilled, but now that he's scoring
some goals.
Ramano's
getting it from Mendes. Ramano's
He's getting it right from the source, which is like everything's good.
Yeah. How much about Ronaldo's conflicting, right? Because it's just like how much of it is Ronaldo's actually not happy, and then like Mendes is like damage control. Like, that's really what's going on with Ronaldo. As you hear the opposite things in the press, because, like, someone else is leaking, like, what's actually going on, which is, like, he's not happy with Ten Hag and da-da-da-da. And then Mendes is doing damage control, leaking the opposite. So you have to also take that into account.
Good
Even
point.
Though I'm Ronaldo Muppet, you have to know that most likely Ronaldo is throwing a hissy fit. Jumping into fan questions here at Red Devil Woody. Good result. Great to see the GOAT score a 700 club goal. Nervy at the end, 3 points. We go again. Hashtag Glazers out. Hashtag Glazers out now.
I'll tell you what, that certainly cooled off like a pie coming out of the oven. Like, Glazers out has gone like dead. I mean, I know you and I.
Not from the American Red Devils fans.
Of course.
Everyone
I appreciate that. Our fans are the best. Our fans are the best in the world. But we got to keep the pressure on them. I mean, it's like, what? Does it take bad results? Does it take no activity in the transfer window? At the end of the day, it's like, the only way they're going to get out sooner than they want to get out is by concerted pressure from the entire, you know, as much as you can gather, Manchester United fan base. Keep it on them. Keep it hot, sir. they're culpable every which way around like the misgivings of this club.
At Rolling Deep 1995, quote, fight, fight, fight. Maybe we didn't see a world-class game, but we surely saw this team is willing to play for their manager. Excellent point.
Well said.
Not sure where this was last week. Antony looks solid, and Ronaldo's finish is a reminder of why he is the GOAT. On we go. Hashtag Blazers out. That is a great point. Where was this in Cyprus? Can you imagine it's the same team against a worse team, you play worse, and against Everton, you play better. That's why I have to credit the manager.
He got a reaction on his players today. This team has that tendency to play up, play down to our opponents. We certainly didn't play up to City, but that's what it's going to be a lot of pressure on the manager to keep the consistency, keep pressing week in, week out, right? No games are an easy one. And Ammonia could be that. They could be thinking about the weekend, right? Newcastle right below us on the table for those who watch. And Ammonia, you know, it's going to feel like a gimme match. They have 0 points in our group. So trap game. They're all trap games these days, it feels like.
At Mike United Mets, quote, under Ten Hag, United continue to have their ups and downs in terms of performance. His ultimate plan will take time, but our downs in results have come from lack of spirit. Any success this season will come down to heart and desire. Eriksen, our most important player, question mark. Hashtag Glazers out. Is Eriksen the most important player?
He might be. I mean, if you lost an Eriksen, you'd notice. If you lost a Bruno, you would notice. If you lost a Martinez, you would notice. I think he gets a shout how important he's been.
I would argue with the Bruno one because he shows up and disappears. Where Eriksen is, he's like 90% on. Bruno is like 60-40.
His highs are higher. His lows are lower. He also runs, what I mean. He runs his ass off the whole game though too. Like if you were to look at him versus Rashford today,
you're trying to say most important player, so you're trying to go cream of the crop, and the most consistent player who's made the difference is Eriksen. Yeah, he started every game. He's the only player to start every game. So I would say yes.
Yeah,
I would say absolutely yes. And he came in a new team.
I think Martinez gets a shout as well, but I think Eriksen's the obvious choice. Sir, he's a veteran, a player, and at 30, I think hell of a transfer because you would think he's got years left in him. So our gain, he's such a player, sir. He's class, and I love the two of them together. You know, Eriksen's better with Bruno on the pitch. And so is Bruno. Bruno's better as well. So, you know, just they feed off of each other. So that's just great to see. Keep both of them healthy. I think Casemiro, you know, the stuff he did well today was what we wanted, right? What we paid $70 million for. Talking about transfer fees, that's a big fee. But if he plays the highs he showed today, then, oh, my God, he's exactly what we need, like standing in front of the defense in midfield. So another encouragement thing from today.
Yeah, I would say hopefully by the end of the season, Casemiro is our most important player. At T. Zoltsky, last one here, quote, nervy finish that shouldn't have been thanks to that joke VAR call, but take 3 points nonetheless. Thought Casemiro was excellent, as was Luke Shaw. Antony has been a fantastic signing thus far. Hashtag Lizards out. Sir, what a day. 3 points in the bag. Manchester United, we kick on again. Ammonia at home. A game we wish we didn't have to play. They should just give it to us. Save the airfare. Mix Discarood. Cyprus. See you later.
Mix Discarood. You ever think you'd talk about Discarood so much on an American Red Devil Manchester United pod? I didn't think so.
Going from South Korea to Sweden to Cyprus. I mean, it's, like, it's this is quite,
I give him. I tip my hat, sir. It's like he wasn't hanging up those boots. And you know what? As he should not. And also shout out Jimmy Gardner almost like banged a worldie, sir. That the tap in that the guy was going for that De Gea scooped out. I mean, that was. I figured I was like, he's Jimmy Gardner is going to score, isn't he?
I did think that, and I was sad. It's sad that Ten Hag moved off him.
It's true. I figured he had a role to play, but maybe it was he had to make tough decisions because that was the only way they're going to green light the transfers he wanted. But who knows, sir? We don't know the whole story.
I doubt that's how they work at Manchester United. But look, that's it. That is the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils, we are for fans, by fans. support the podcast. We're the small time operation, just me and Alex doing this for the love of the game. You want to support us, check out our Patreon page, AmericaRedDevils.com, Patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our website, AmericaRedDevils.com. Pick up some merch, AmericaRedDevils.store. It is some high quality stuff. The scarves are awesome. The beanies are awesome. You know, we really put in the work to find high quality retailers that we work with to get all of our stuff looking in tip top shape. So if you get something, it is top, top notch. We send a lot of stuff back. We have sent so many things back. There are some legendary mugs that we had to send back. They're absolutely horrifically looking, but
the mugs.
We only sell it mugs. If it's like quality and it's actually a good price as well. Like we don't have inflationary pressures on the American Red Devils. It's all in Alex's garage. We're trying to get rid of it. We have it fairly priced. So if you want to support us, please pick up something, like, subscribe, write a review. Alex, you got the top 10 downloads last 7 days?
You know it. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Phoenix, Arizona, Reseda, California, Venice, Florida, Philadelphia, PA, Manassas, Virginia, Jayburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, Medina, Saudi Arabia, Dallas, Texas, Pretoria, South Africa. Appreciate you. And last but not least, Elmhurst, Illinois. We also got Tottenham, Canada on the list, sir. Tel Aviv, Israel, London, UK, Central Hong Kong, Toronto, Canada, sir. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. Greatest fans in the world, greatest club in the world. And Eric Ten Hag, we trust, sir, on to Europa League, Discoteca this weekend. Actually, not weekend, Thursday.
I got a tangent for you.
Give it to me.
You see the Jordan Henderson investigation?
No. What?
Apparently, he like, said something to an Arsenal player that, like, you know, offensive? Doesn't look great. Yes. Yes. Like, how
couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Couldn't have, like I don't like his vibe, like, bro.
How he became like the nice guy, like front of Liverpool, where like nobody, like clearly Salah should be the head man, but for some reason Jordan Henderson, because in England, it like just like if Manchester United was successful, they wouldn't give it to Ronaldo, they wouldn't give the shine to Bruno, they gotta give it to Harry Maguire, like right, the guy who does like the least.
Yeah.
Like Jordan Henderson did the least on that Liverpool team.
He's like the worst player on that side. He's the worst player on the side.
Dude, he's like not a good dude. Like he's. Like Jordan Henderson, like I could go on. We could have a pod about like how much I don't like him. You know, it's like not good. He got all the shine for Liverpool being good. Makes no sense. And then now this investigation. So I'll just leave it be. You know, but like there's a lot of stuff like this going on in the league that, you know, I just don't like Jordan Henderson. So whatever happens, I still don't like him. But just if I could shade him in any way on the podcast, I
preach,
will, because
preach, you know what? Never been a fan of him. So,
sir, build a bonfire, put the scousers on the top. You know, that's how we do it.
Next time. Oh, we got to bust that out for the next time we play Liverpool. But for now, we've seen it all. We've won the lot. We'll see you all next time. Big match coming up on Thursday. Let's go.